Would you turn, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 3? I just want to emphasize what Mr. Berry has said about how pleased we are to see all who have gathered in the tent tonight again. It's not easy these days to have a sustained series of meetings, but you've been doing very well, and we thank you for that. But quite a long way to go yet. We're just about a third of the way through, I gathered from Mr. McRae. So we hope you'll continue to come, and we hope that you'll bring others. And we know that some of you have been doing that, and God has been blessing your efforts. Try to do that. This is a wonderful time of visitation of God in the community, and we don't want to miss out what God is doing. Thank you for coming. Thank you for praying. Remember to pray over the weekend for the success of the gospel in our campaign here. 2 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, out of the hand of all their enemies." And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, "I will arise and go and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth." And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. We'll end our reading at that verse. And Lord, we end it with the prayer that thou wilt bless the reading of thy word to us and the preaching of it for Christ's sake. Amen. I have reason to believe that in these mission services, people are coming face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and are arriving at that particular time in their lives when they know that they have got to make a decision with regard to their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that for these reasons. First of all, the prayers of God's people. If you have not been at the prayer meeting in the little hall outside the tent yet, you should come, if for no other reason, just to hear the fervent prayers of God's people. Of course, there is a better reason than that, and that is that you would pray yourself. But those people mean business. And others who can't get to those prayer meetings, I'm sure, are praying in their homes regularly that God will bless the gospel mission and save souls. And because of that reason, I'm believing in my heart that God is moving in the lives of people. But there's another reason, and that is the preaching of the Word of God. There is a lovely place in Isaiah, and we are told there that the Lord said, "My word that goeth forth out of my mouth shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereto I send it." And if the word of God is being preached night by night, then we believe that God is honoring his word, and things are happening in the lives of men and women and young people here. But there's another reason, and that is because of the striving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is in these meetings. We saw it last night. We saw the evidences of it last night. I believe in other nights he's been here, and what has been happening perhaps last night may be a follow-on from maybe other gospel services, either in the tent or in your own church or even elsewhere. But the Spirit of God is in these meetings. And just on that matter, here's something to keep in mind. While he is striving, the Bible says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." If that happens, what a terrible thought. What terrible consequences. Perhaps even now, in this very service, you young people have been doing your thinking. You have been coming face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in these services Maybe you haven't been out all that much in the mission, although again, it's lovely to see young people out every night, but maybe in your own youth meetings every week in the church, or maybe the Sunday services in the church. But at any rate, you've been thinking, and you know that the Lord has been pressing His claims upon you. But there are other people in this tent that are not so young. You've heard the gospel a long, long time. And you've had plenty of time to think about your soul's relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. What will happen to you when you die, if you die without the Savior? And I believe tonight, certainly, and especially so in a gospel mission, there are people who give more thought to the claims of Christ in their life, to the need of being saved, than perhaps at any other time. And so in this service tonight, I want to encourage you, as well as urge you, to make that decision to become a Christian and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And in making this plea to you tonight, I want to base it on the words of what we have read in verse 18 of our reading. I'll read the 17th verse along with the 18th verse to give you the connection of 2 Samuel chapter 3. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, out of the hand of all their enemies." And it's those words, "Now then, do it." And if you can remember little else tonight, remember this text. "Now then, do it." I want us then to look at this exhortation of Abner's to the elders of Israel. And I want you to notice, first of all, the matter with which this exhortation was concerned. What was he talking about? Do what? Well, this is what he says. He says, "You have in times past sought for David to be king over you." And this is the matter, that David would rule over the lives of that part of Israel where he wasn't ruling at the particular time that Abner spoke this. Let me say to you that at this particular time, there were two kings ruling in Israel. There was the dynasty of Saul that was just about coming to an end. Saul and Jonathan, you might remember, had been slain. Saul took his own life whenever the Philistines were overpowering them. And then this young man, Ish-bosheth, was a son of Saul, and the mantle fell upon him, and he became the ruler over Israel. But there was a part of the country around the tribe of Benjamin and Judah that gave their allegiance to David, and David was anointed king. Now, this man, Ish-bosheth, is a picture of yourself, and David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the principle is this, that vying for your affections, vying for your devotion and loyalty, there are two people. There is your own interests, your own ends, and there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a battle going on, and that's why some of you have not been saved before now. That's why many people are digging in, and they're saying, "No, I don't want to surrender to Christ. I may someday, but not now." And as a result, life at best, being very brief, like the falling of a leaf, is swiftly gliding by. And young people, you can remember when you were much younger, maybe whenever your mom and dad were putting you to bed at night, they read and prayed with you, and they talked to you about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they sought to point you to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Well, then maybe you got on a little bit, and you were able to go to bed yourself. Mom and dad didn't need to tuck you in, so the Bible reading was done downstairs or else around the tea table or the dinner table or the breakfast table. And then maybe you grew up a bit more, and you began to come in, maybe not the same time when others were coming in for their meals. But at any rate, you've met other people, you get into youth fellowship, maybe Bible class, maybe the senior classes of the Sabbath school, and you heard a godly Bible class leader, a godly youth leader, or a godly Sunday school teacher telling you the very same thing that your mom and dad told you. Or maybe you came in contact with a Christian friend. Or maybe when your minister was preaching Sunday by Sunday, and time again, there was that voice within your mind said, "Now then, do it. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." But up until tonight, you haven't done it. You haven't made the Lord Jesus Christ the King of your life. I want you to notice chapter 2, if you just turn back for a moment, if you've your Bible open there. Notice verse 4. The men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And then if you read further down, you will find again in verse 10, Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And I want to tell you tonight, and I think you know it anyhow, but not only should you be ruling over your life, not only should you be sitting on the throne of your life, but rather the Lord Jesus Christ should be there. Because David is a picture of Christ. And we read in the book of Acts that God had anointed, the first book of Samuel, that God had anointed David to be king over Israel at a particular time. David was God's choice to sit on the throne. And whenever we come into the book of Acts, we read some very important words that Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He says, "Know ye not that God hath raised up Jesus, and this Jesus whom ye have crucified, he hath made both Lord and Christ." And tonight, the Lord wants you to give in. He wants you to surrender. And he wants you to put the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life. The Bible tells us, we just didn't have time to read all of the background, but the Bible says there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Going on a long time. And this struggle in your life, am I right in saying, to you has been going on for quite a while. The Lord wants to be king. Somebody once wrote in one of our hymns, "In all my heart and will, Lord Jesus, be altogether king. Make me a loyal subject, Lord Jesus, to thee in everything." And in the light of that, I want to urge you tonight, young person and older person, now then, do it. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. May that be your prayer and your avowal to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. I want to be a Christian. I want to give my life to you. Come in and take over. Or if you did that years ago, but you've backslidden now, would you not come back to him and say, "Lord, I've wandered far away from you. Now I'm coming home, and I want you to be King Supreme in my life." So that's the matter of this great exhortation. You sought for David in times past to be king over you. But there's a second very important thing with regard to this exhortation. It's not only the matter making David or making Christ king over you in our circumstances, but there is the motivation from which it came. I want you to think about this. There was a great motivation behind this. First of all, there were their past circumstances. Notice, first of all, in the past, they had a great desire for David. Listen to these words again in chapter 3 in verse 17. "And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it." They had a desire for David. Why did they have that desire? They remembered the time that young stripling of a lad who came to see the battle, who came to bring some foodstuff for his brothers, when he saw that arrogant boaster Goliath defying the armies of Israel, and King Saul afraid to take him on, and everybody else in the army afraid, and many of the people turning away and running for their lives. But young David said, "Who does he think he is?" He says, "Is there not a cause here?" And David went out to fight Goliath with just a few stones and a sling. And he went forth in God's name,
And he'd put a stone in the sling. And as Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, said, he soaked Goliath in the coca between the lamps. What a saying. And the Goliath fell to the ground. And David then ran and took a sword, Goliath's sword, and took his head off. Young fella, against a giant 9 feet tall and more. The children of Israel never forgot that. Because we read in times later that they said, Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. The women went out with their timbrels. They went out with their songs. And while they were giving Saul praise and credit, yet this young fellow who was not the king then, he, in the eyes of Saul, was becoming more prominent. We read again about this young man, David, that he behaved himself wisely in front of the people. And the Bible tells us that his name was much set by. Could I put it to you tonight, my dear hearer, that there have been times past whenever you were on the verge of putting your trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe last night, maybe Wednesday night, maybe a couple of nights earlier this week, maybe last Sunday night whenever the mission started. You were almost there, but something drew you back. And you've seen something of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've seen something of the sufficiency of Christ and his work on the cross. When he laid down his life a ransom for us. When he suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Yes, there's an attraction there. There's a beauty there. And even though it is true, until your eyes were opened, that there is no beauty that we should desire him, yet when your eyes are being opened, the Lord has melted your heart. You are almost there. But you've stepped back. And I would say to you tonight, think again of the Lord Jesus, God's anointed and God's appointed Messiah. Think of the love that was demonstrated there on the cross at Calvary. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Take him as your Savior. Make him as your King. But not only their desire for David, there was their disillusionment with Saul. Saul was not doing what a king ought to do. Saul was spending the major part of his life trying to kill David. You read 1 Samuel and you'll find that's all that Saul seemed to do. And there may have been a variation whenever the Philistines came too close for comfort. He might have stopped his pursuit of David, went after the Philistines, and then when he dealt with that again, he wanted to hound David to death. And these people were realizing that Saul was not the king he ought to be. Saul, in his early days, had got off to a good start. He was humble. He was impressive in his stature. He knew his position. He was very brave. He was valiant and courageous. And he was magnanimous even over the enemy. But he disobeyed God and he began to decline. His life was a tragedy. And the kingdom was suffering as a result. And Abner, who had his finger and thumb in the pulse of the nation, he said, listen, the days have gone by whenever you really wanted David to be your king, whenever Saul was ruling. But there were obstacles in the way. They're not there anymore. Now then, do it. Make David king. Did I say this to you tonight, my dear hearer? And say to you, or maybe I should put it in the form of a question. Is it not true that in times gone by, it may have been more difficult for you to become a child of God than now? Let me put it this way. Mums and dads here, when the children were small, you were rearing the children, and your argument then was, well, I have no time to go out to services, I have a family to rear, and I just can't see my way out. But the family's grown up. They've carved out and etched out lives for themselves. And you're maybe having a little bit more time. Though you might say, I'm really busy, preacher. But that's of choice. You have time now to think about your soul. You have time now to think about the matters that are eternal. And would you not tonight, now that the obstacles are out of your way, seek the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation
and put your trust in Him. Maybe in days gone by, there was a person, an overbearing person, a domineering person, maybe in the family, and they didn't want you to become a Christian. But that influence is not there any longer. You're not under their thumb now. You can become a child of God. Circumstances are such that it may be easier tonight. Let me say something else about that. It was not only their past circumstances, it was their present opportunity. Saul was dead. Saul, who had not been a good influence in Israel, was not going to give them bad leadership anymore. There was a glorious opportunity now. And whatever may have been the problem in the past for you, the opportunity is in this tent tonight. So many Christian people around you. So many Christian people have been praying for you just before the service started. Some of you by name, your friends known to you. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being preached. You're in a lovely atmosphere, the atmosphere of heaven in a very real sense is in this meeting. We've been singing the hymns of Zion. We've already had a lovely portion of scripture read by Mr. Burry in Isaiah 53. We've had the lovely singing, the rousing singing, the tender singing, and now the word of God, an urging, an exhorting, a pleading, and an appealing. Now then, do it. What a wonderful present opportunity you have. Would you not come to Christ now? Would you not make Him the King of your life? But there's something else. What motivation this was. Their future well-being. Oh, this is tremendous. Notice this text again. Verse 18. Now then, do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. Deliverance was assured. Abner is saying that God is going to deliver all of Israel now out of the Philistines and all their enemies. And He's going to do it through David. That's why he says, you should make David to be your king. What a plea. What an appeal. What a motive. The Lord has spoken good concerning David. Let me say to you tonight again, my dear hearer, do you know that God hath spoken good about the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to what He said in one occasion. Well, for instance, whenever the Lord Jesus was just about to be born, the angel came to Joseph and said, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And then whenever the Lord Jesus Christ had begun His public ministry, you remember the voice spake from the glory and said, when the Lord Jesus was coming out of the water after being baptized, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God could speak no better thing than that of His Son. And then years later, whenever the Lord was being transfigured, He said again, the voice spake from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. And to prove that God had spoken good for His Son, He raised Him up the third day from the dead. I've already quoted to you what Peter said in the book of Acts. There are other tremendous statements, and here's one of them. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Here's another. To Him give all the prophets witness, that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Ladies and gentlemen, God has said there is no other Savior but the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. What's keeping you back, friend? Is that not a great incentive? Is that not great motive? God has not spoken highly of the church to be your Savior. Although He has spoken highly of the church. In fact, He loved the church and gave Himself for it. But the church can't save. And there's no use in you telling me that because you belong to a certain church or support a certain church, that that'll get you to heaven. Because it'll not. The Lord has appointed only one to be the Savior. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen and young people,
you and I need a Savior. We're sinners. We're lost. We're on our way to hell. And death could come at any moment. You might be planning to come back to this tent and maybe get saved before the mission's over. You say, oh, if another 2 weeks maybe. You do not know if you live the night out. We just don't know. And the Lord can not only save you from the condemnation of your sin, but He can save you from the contamination of your sin, the uncleanness and filthiness. And He can save you from the control that sin has, those habits that bind and chain us. The Lord tonight can give you a tremendous victory. Now then, do it. He sought for David and time passed over you to be king over you. Now then, do it. And you who were near in a day gone by, and maybe you who walked with the Lord Jesus in a day gone by, but not any longer, remember those good days, those peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet their memory still, but they've left an aching void this world can never fill. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? You'll find it when you come back to the cross, when you come back to the Lord Jesus. And if you have backslidden and you're thinking in these times of getting right with God, let me, in the words of our text, urge you to, now then, do it. Will you? But I have one other thing to bring before you with regard to this exhortation. We have seen the matter with which it's concerned. It's making David king, making the Lord Jesus king of your life. We have seen the momentum, the past circumstances, the present opportunity, and the future that lay before them. What a future if you were to take Christ tonight. Peace in your heart. When you die, go to be with Him in heaven forever and reign with Him. There's one other thing. Now then, do it. See the message that this exhortation contains. Now then, do it. First of all, there is only one response that can be appropriate here. This is what Abner is saying. Listen, he said, you've sought for David in days gone by, and the way is open for you. Now then, do it. That's tremendous. You desire David. Saul is not now a problem. You had difficulties before. They're all out of the road. Now then, do it. And the primary significance is, now then, there is only one possible response that you can make in the light of all of this. Let's apply it to our own circumstances. And it's for whom the Lord is applying it. You have sought in times past, or thought perhaps in time past, I need to be seeing to the matter of my soul. But you never quite saw the matter through. But at least you were interested. Maybe you were on the verge of a mission like this, or maybe a church service, or maybe at your own bedside, or maybe at the armchair in your home, or maybe in a friend's house, or maybe in the office. You were on the verge of putting your faith in Christ, but you didn't do it. Whatever the problems were then, the way is clear now. Whatever the adverse influences were upon you to keep you from Christ in a day gone by, they're not there to the same degree. Now then, do it. Since the way is clear, do it. Since the world has failed to satisfy. I said earlier that the people were disillusioned with Saul's reign. You thought that you could get happiness by the alcohol. You thought that you could find your joy in perhaps drugs or some other scene or some other lifestyle. But you found tonight that none of those things satisfy. You could say with the hymn writer, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wheeled. You could come tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ and find, as that hymn writer went on to say,
Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Now then, do it. There's only one response, since the world has failed to satisfy, since there's nothing standing in the way, since you have known something of what the Lord will do in your life. He'll save your soul. He'll take you back to himself if you're a backslider. He'll give you an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. He'll accompany you throughout life. He'll be with you to help you with all your problems. When you come to die, he'll be there to guide you and to lead you through the dark valley of the shadow of death so that you'll fear no evil. All of these things and many, many more. This is what Christ will do for you. In the light of that, I say to you tonight, now then, do it. Make the Lord Jesus Christ the King of your life. He has a right to it. He's your Creator. He wants to be your Redeemer. He died on the cross that we might be forgiven. Died to make us good that we might go at last to heaven saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. There's one other thing with regard to this message. But there's only one real appropriate response. And this is what the other thing is. The response must be immediate. Now then, do it. We've emphasized the two words, then. In the light of everything being made that much easier for you, let me take the other word. Now then, do it. You see, time and time again in the Bible, the emphasis is on the now. Now is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It is time to seek the Lord. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Give no guarantee to live another day. Now then, do it. The message is one of urgency. There were three elderly men, senior citizens, out for a walk one day. And they were looking at a hedge. And they were admiring a certain type of a scooch straight stick that fellows who dander out the road can make use of. And the three of them were saying, now, what's the best time to take that stick out of the hedge? Would it be in the spring when the sap's beginning to rise? Or would it be in midsummer, whenever it's at its prime? Or would it be in the autumn, whenever it's well seasoned? And they all had a different view. They each had a different view. One the spring, one the summer, the other the autumn. And they couldn't agree among themselves. And they saw another one of their old camellias coming by, and they said, oh, here's Johnny. Johnny's an expert in these things. He'll tell us what's the best time to take it out. And they went over it with this companion of theirs called Johnny. He listened carefully. Would it be the springtime when the sap was rising? Would it be summertime whenever it was full? Would it be in the autumn time when it was seasoned? And old Johnny looked at each one of them. He says, gentlemen, the best time to take it out of the hedge is now, because the next time you're coming by here, it may not be there. And I will take those words tonight and apply them to you in this gospel campaign. If you have come to the place of great interest, that you're willing to renounce self and put the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne of your life, now is the time to do it. Because the next time that you come by, the Lord Jesus Christ may not be passing by before you. So will you come to him tonight? Can I just plead with you once more? Now then, do it. Make the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior and King of your life. Will you? Let's bow together and pray. Father in heaven, you have come to the moment of decision. Choices will be made. There's nothing sure. The choice to postpone making a decision is a decision in itself. The choice to say, I don't want to have anything to do with this, is a decision. And oh God, we know the choice to say, yes, Christ has every right to my life. My life's in a mess anyhow. I want Him to come in and take complete control. What a decision. Lord, this is what we believe that You want for these people. Now then, do it. And they make Thee, Lord Jesus, the King of their life. Put Thee in the throne of their life. Give them grace tonight to trust the Savior. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, meeting is almost over. The other night when I was preaching here, I offered you some words that you might like to pray while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you were prepared to put your trust in Christ, I want to offer those words to you tonight. And if there's a man or a woman, and especially a young person in this meeting, and you realize now is the time for me to do it, to become a Christian, to trust Christ, to make the Lord Jesus the King of my life, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it tonight. How will I do it? If you were to say these words in prayer to the Lord Jesus, just where you sit, just in the quietness of your heart, but mean them. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are the words. If you really mean to make the Lord Jesus King of your life, to trust Him as your Savior, or to come back as a backslider, would you pray them after me? If you mean it, here are the words. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask Thee to please save me. Wash away my sins in Thy precious blood. I ask Thee to come and sit on the throne of my life and rule and reign there. I hand my life over to You right now. Maybe you're a backslider. You could say words like these. Lord, I remember when You did rule my life, but I turn from following Thee, and I want to come back tonight. And if you pray that, He'll take you back. Lord, Thou hast been here. We thank You for spending time with us. We ask You now to write Thy word indelibly upon our hearts. Give the grace that's necessary and the wisdom for men and women and young people to put Christ on the throne of their lives. Part us in Thy fear and with Thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen.